The Long Tail: Why the Future of Business is Selling Less of More. Author: Chris Anderson. In 1988, a British mountain climber named Joe Simpson wrote a book called Touching the Void, a harrowing account of near death in the Peruvian Andes. Though reviews for the book were good, it was only a modest success, and soon was largely forgotten. Then, a decade later, a strange thing happened. John Krakauer's Into Thin Air, another book about a mountain climbing tragedy, became a publishing sensation. Suddenly, Touching the Void started to sell again. Booksellers began promoting it next to their Into Thin Air displays, and sales continued to rise. By mid-2004, Touching the Void was outselling Into Thin Air more than 2-1. What happened? Online word of mouth. When Into Thin Air first came out, a few readers wrote reviews on Amazon.com that pointed out the similarities with the then lesser known Touching the Void, which they praised effusively. Other shoppers read those reviews, checked out the older book, and added it into their shopping carts. Pretty soon, the online bookseller's software noted that the patterns in buying behavior readers who bought Into Thin Air also bought Touching the Void and started recommending the two as a pair. While The Long Tail currently manifests itself largely as an internet phenomenon, its origins predate Amazon and eBay, and even the web. Instead, it is the culmination of a string of business innovations that date back more than a century. Advancements in the way we make, find, distribute, and sell goods. Think about all the non-internet elements that enable, for instance, an Amazon purchase, FedEx, standard ISBN numbers, credit cards, relational databases, even barcodes. It took decades for these innovations to emerge and evolve. What the internet has done is allow businesses to weave together those type of improvements in a way that amplifies their power and extends their reach. In other words, the web simply unified the elements of a supply chain revolution that had been brewing for decades. Themes of the Long Tail Age. The theory of the long tail can be boiled down to this. Our culture and economy are increasingly shifting away from a focus on a relatively small number of hits, mainstream products and markets, at the head of the demand curve, and moving toward a huge number of niches in the tail. In an era without the constraints of a physical shelf space and other bottlenecks of distribution, narrowly targeted goods and services can be as economically attractive as mainstream fare. But that's not enough. Demand must follow this new supply. Otherwise, the tail will wither. Because the tail is measured not just in an available variety, but in the people who gravitate toward it. The true shape of demand is revealed only when consumers are offered infinite choice. The six themes of the long tail age are as follows. 1. In virtually all markets, there are far more niche goods than hits. The ratio is growing exponentially larger as the tools of production become cheaper and more ubiquitous. 2. The costs of reaching those niches are now falling dramatically. 3. Simply offering more variety, however, does not shift demand itself. Consumers must be given ways to find niches that suit their particular needs and interests. 4. Once there's massively expanded variety and the filters to sort through it, the demand curve flattens. There are still hits and niches, but the hits are relatively less popular and the niches relatively more so. 5. All those niches add up. Although none sell in huge numbers, there are so many niche products that collectively can compromise a market rivaling the hits. 6. Once all of this is in place, the natural shape of demand is revealed. Undistorted by distribution bottlenecks, scarcity of information, and limited choice of shelf space. How long tails emerge? The three forces of the long tail. None of the aforementioned happens without one big economic trigger, reducing the costs of reaching niches. What causes those costs to fall? Democratizing the tools of production. Millions of people now have the capacity to make a short film or album or publish their thoughts to the world, and a surprisingly large number of them do. Democratizing distribution. The second force is cutting the cost of consumptions by democratizing distribution. The PC made everyone a producer or publisher, but it was the internet that made everyone a distributor. Connecting supply and demand. The third force is connecting supply and demand, introducing consumers to these new and newly available goods and driving demand down the tail. The long tail rules. The secret to creating a thriving long tail business can be summarized in three imperative rules. Rule 1. Make everything available. If you love documentaries, video stores aren't for you. There are too many documentaries, and they sell too poorly to justify stocking more than a few dozen of them on a physical shelf. Instead, you'll want to join Netflix, which offers more than 1,000 documentaries, because it can. There are many numbers of equally attractive genres and subgenres neglected by the traditional DVD channels, foreign films, anime, independent movies, television dramas, old American TV sitcoms. Rule 2. Cut the price in half. Now lower it. Thanks to the success of Apple's iTunes, we now have a standard price for downloaded track. 99 cents. But is it the right one? Ask the labels when they'll tell you it's too low. Even though 99 cents per track works out to about the same price as a CD, most consumers just buy a track or two from an album online, rather than the full CD. So from a label perspective, consumers should pay more for the privilege of purchasing a cart to compensate for the lost album revenue. Ask consumers on the other hand, and they'll tell you that 99 cents is too high. If it clearly costs less for a record label to deliver a song online with no packaging, manufacturing, distribution, or shelf space overheads, why shouldn't the price be less? The labels fear that if they price online music lower, their CD retailers, still the vast majority of the business, will revolt. Or more likely, go out of business even more quickly than they already are. But what if record labels stop playing defense? A brave new look at the economics of music would calculate what it really costs to simply put a song on an iTunes server and adjust pricing accordingly. When you lower prices, people tend to buy more. Rule 3. Help me find it. In 1997, an entrepreneur started what looked like a classic long-tail business, called mp3.com. It let anyone upload music files that would be available to all. The idea was the service would bypass the record labels, allowing artists to connect directly to listeners. Putting aside the fact that many people actually use the service to illegally upload and share commercial tracks, leading the labels to sue mp3.com, the model failed at its intended purpose too. Struggling bands did not, as a rule, find new audiences, and independent music was not transformed. Indeed, mp3.com got a reputation for being exactly what it was, an undifferentiated mass of mostly bad music that deserves its obscurity. The problem with mp3.com was that it was only a long tail. It didn't have license agreements with labels to offer mainstream fare or much popular commercial music at all. Therefore, there was no familiar point of entry for consumers, no known quantity from which further exploring could begin.